All right. Right, we are ready to start. I was going to say that yesterday afternoon, Eunice and I went to the induction of the new minister at Brixham Baptist Church. And the new minister was the one that came from Kilmington, which was Darrell. Darrell and his wife Lucy and their family. Darrell started his ministry at Tasso in Fulham, where I started mine many years before him, of course. But and after him came Matt Noble, who is now in Truro. And so little Tasso has, had some ministers come and started there and gone successfully on into ministry. And it was good that Eunice and I were able to be there. So there we are. We're going to start with, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Thank you.
for our first prayer, prayer of praise to God, I'm going to use the words of the psalmist in Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. Now we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love. Now over to Brian for the reading. Thank you, Brian.
Well, the Bible reading, John 10, verses 1 to 10, the Good Shepherd and his sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen.
Thank you. And the next verse that follows, Bruce has put it there with a picture. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The Lord is truly our shepherd." We now come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the wonderful world that you created. And Lord, we know that it was your will, it was your desire that all people should live together in peace. And Lord, we know that you must be disappointed by some of the things that happen in your world. But Lord, we know that the more and more people that come to know you will have that desire to spread peace, to spread your word, to spread the message of salvation. For we worship a God who loves us. We worship a God who forgives us, who cleanses us, who guides us. And even when we make mistakes, you're still there for us. And so, Lord, we pray that there might be a better world, a people who desire to know and to love you, a people who might desire to know your word and live according to that word. We pray, Lord, for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for the royal family. We pray for those who serve in the House of Commons and in the House of Lords. Lord, give to them your wisdom and your guidance. It's easy, Lord, for us to criticize people, but Lord, we know that our leaders have many, many decisions to make, many problems to solve, and it cannot be easy. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide them, that you would continue to give them your wisdom. Let them know, Lord, that you are there for them, that you are willing to guide, you are willing to lead them, so that the decisions that they make will be the right ones in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for your church throughout the world. We thank you for all those churches that are expanding, churches that are having more and more people coming to claim Jesus as their Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for all that the lockdown has done in enabling churches, including our church here, to spread the message online. Oh Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. We may be small, but Lord, there is a wider message going out to all people. And we thank you for what the church is doing has done during the lockdown, and in many cases is still going on, by keeping your word out there among all people. We thank you, Lord, for our Torbay Council. We thank you for Steve Darling, the leader. We thank you, Lord, that he is willing to find a place where we can have our own base. And so, Lord, we pray for him as he has the difficulty of dealing with the officers and finding the best place for our base to be placed. So, Lord, give to him wisdom. And, Lord, when it comes about, may we go forward in faith, and may we do all that we can to have a place in the Willows where the residents here can meet in fellowship and join together, a place where we also can spread your word. Lord, we pray for each other. We pray, Lord, for those that are not with us. We think of Ollie. We think of Richard. We know that Richard will soon be going on holiday with Robert and Jilly. And we know that Jilly's not too sure about her future. Lord, we thank you for her. We thank you for the way that she's willing to lead our Christmas carol services. But Lord, if it be your will to bring her here to us, we pray that that may indeed happen. But Lord, we ask for the opportunity to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, in our witness. Help us to share your love with others. And so, Lord, as we continue to pray for each other, we pray for Paul. We pray for his wife, Jennifer, and ask that you would be with them. Lord, we pray that Paul might have a complete recovery, that he may put back the weight that he's lost, and that he might be able to continue serving you as he proclaims your word. We thank you for Rita, who's with the family today, and we ask that you would be her strength. We ask that you would equip her for her discipleship. And as she lives on her own, Lord, we ask that you would be her companion. We pray, Lord, for Dawn, for Emma, for Hannah. Be with them, Lord, where they are. Bless them, Lord, as they seek to continue to serve you. We pray, Lord, for those that maybe are thinking of us, maybe praying for us. Lord, we may not know who they are or what they're doing, but you know, and we pray for them too. We pray for each other. We pray for Bruce. We thank you for all that he does, and we pray for his mother and father too, that you would keep them safe. We pray for Jean and for Stuart. We ask, Lord, that you would undertake for them. We thank you, Lord, for all that Jean does within the home, and we ask that you would keep her safe. We ask for Stuart. Lord, it would be good if he could be more mobile, and we pray, Lord, that you would be his healer, his strength, and most of all, his constant companion. We pray, Lord, for Sarah. We thank you for her. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with her friends, that you would be with her neighbors, that you would be with her family. But Lord, also, we ask that you would be her companion. As you know, Lord, she lives too on her own. But Lord, we want to thank you for the way that she seeks to help other people. And we pray, Lord, that that ministry would continue. We pray for Graham. We know that Graham's looking forward to going away in just a week's time. And we pray, Lord, that he will have a good rest. But Lord, as he's not able to work, we pray that you would undertake for him, that you would meet his needs. Keep him, Lord, sure in his faith. Lord, we pray for Eunice and myself. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you look after us. We thank you for Brian. Thank you for the word that he shared with us from your word this morning. Pray you'll equip him for his discipleship. So, Lord, anyone we may not have mentioned, you know who they are. But Lord, we know that you love each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that you would be our guide, you would be our comforter, that you would be our friend. And we know that you are our Saviour and our Lord. And we bless you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted lost, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing Jesus. The title to God's word this morning is New Life. And when we come to faith in the Lord, we talk about being born again. We enter a new life with Christ as our head. Verse 10 of chapter 10. I have come, says Jesus, that they may have life and have it to the full. 2 points to share with you from God's word. One, this life is an abundant life, or if you like, a full life. And point two, in this life, everything is new. Everything is new. So number one then, abundant life. So, do we sometimes wonder whether we are really spiritually alive? Here are some signs that I'd like to share with you of what spiritual life is. First of all, it's a new obedience. 1 John 2 verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So, when we start wanting to do God's will, that surely is a healthy sign. Not only is there a new obedience, but when we're born again, there is a new love for God. 1 John 2 verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So, the Holy Spirit gives us such a love once we come to know Jesus as our Savior. He gives us such a love for God that the world, meaning everything else, that does not come under the leadership of God, should take second place. God would come first if we have this new love for God. We should also have a new hatred for sin. 1 John 3, 9. No one who is born of God will continue in sin because God's seed remains in them. And they cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now, we may find that hard, but let me just share this. It is a bad sign if we go on deliberately sinning, because those who are spiritually alive begin to hate what God hates and love what God loves. And you know, God knows us, and he knows when we let him down. Yes, we shouldn't go on deliberately sinning. Let's be honest. I know from my own self that I've done things that I've regretted and had to go to God and say, forgive me. So, you know, there is... Right. So, you know, we will sin, but not deliberately sin. When I say we will sin, what I mean is that we'll let God down at times. We are human. But the great thing is that God knows us, he loves us, he knows all about our weakness, and he is a forgiving God. But what we're called not to do is to not deliberately sin, because we have a new hatred for sin, and we know that that is not what God wants. God hates. And he hates sin, but he loves us. And then the next one is a new love for other Christians. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. This love for others is not primarily an emotion, but it is expressed in practical service. God loves us and he wants us to love others. And we show that love by practical service. And that is why, you know, in serving God, the gifts of the Spirit are so helpful, because we can be hosts, we can be prayer warriors, we can be givers, whatever it is. You know, the phone call to someone who perhaps we haven't seen for a while, or the phone call to someone who lives on their own, all of this is a practical way of showing our love for others. Right, new love, but there's also a new peace. John 1, 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. You know, many Christians can echo David's feeling of relief after his sins were confessed. You know, Psalm 51 is a great psalm where David confesses before God the sins that he has condemned, that he has been guilty of. And they're big sins too. And yet, he came in repentance and faith, and he knew, and it's there in the psalm forever, he knew God's forgiveness. He knew a new peace. All right, so new peace, we have a new enemy. That's the evil one. That's Satan. You know, Satan loves to get at people. He loves to split the church. He loves to make Christians fail. 1 John 5, 10. We know that we are born of God, because anyone who is born of God does not continue to deliberately sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm us. Now, Satan does try in our lives, but if we're sure, if we are going to deliberately seek to conquer the temptations that come to us, then we will know not only that we have an enemy, but we will know that we have a new power over all that is evil. 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. In other words, if we have faith in God, we can overcome all the things that might try and wreck our lives. And we experience this as we trust Jesus more and more. And so the question to the first point about abundant life must surely be this: are there signs of this new life in our lives? Do we have signs of abundant life? That moves us on very aptly to the second point. Everything about this new life is new. Someone in Christ is a new creature. There is a man who talked to another man who had only been born, who had only been a Christian for a very short time. And he was saying to the Christian, I'm in a new world. Everything's new. My eyes, my ears, my home, my wife, my job, it's all new. And then another man also, soon after his conversion, said this: "The sense of newness is simply delicious. It makes new the Bible, it makes new my friends and all mankind. And I love spiritual things, and I love Sunday, and I love the church, and I love God himself." Two who came to faith were able to say that. I trust we can say it too. Since Jesus makes us new creations, we need to relate to Christians as they are in Christ, not as they are in the world. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And I'll take two men I know. One no longer with us, but with God. And that is Sarah's father. And Stuart, Jean's husband. Both of them have shown that they are in Christ. And they show in their lives that everything that they loved has gone, and everything that they now love is for God, is of God. And, you know, if you look at those two gentlemen, you'll see that they don't only have a love for God and other Christians, they had a love for all people. Both of them would be quite happy to speak with a non-Christian. And you know, that's great. That's wonderful. And it's an example to us. Will we do the same? Will we love other people in a way that we know others have done? When we look at other Christians, we should see them first and foremost as brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, so often we relate to people as they were or as they are in the world. She's a professor, he's a student, and so we go on. But it's what they are in Christ that really matters. At the induction yesterday, after was with the cream tea, there was a couple that sat next to us and didn't know them. They didn't know us. But it turned out that the gentleman went to the prayer meetings that are held at 6:30 in the morning, and representatives of different churches take part, and it goes round the churches. Each church hosts that meeting. Before the lockdown, I used to go to them. I don't get up at 6:30 nowadays, but this gentleman does still go there. And he was saying how it has changed his life, just meeting with other Christians, and also what that meeting does particularly is pray for other people that don't know Jesus and might come to faith. Also, we need to relate to non-Christians, not simply as they are, but as they would be if they accepted Christ. We should love people as they are, but we should see them as they could be if they came to God. Jesus, let's be honest, picked the oddest bunch of disciples you could ever imagine. We wouldn't have chosen them to be the foundation or the apostles of the early church. I'm sure we would have gone out and handpicked some nice, religious, well-connected people. But Jesus saw in this very strange assortment of people what they could become in him. And that's how we need to look at people. Not what they are, but what they could become. Let us practice seeing people either as they are in Christ or as they could be if they were in Christ. And as we meet and pray for them, may we have that attitude in our mind. We should never give up praying for anyone. I'm sure I've failed on that one. I don't know about you. But there was a lady in the church that I pastored. She had gas lights a long time ago, but she rented this house. And by then, most of us had electricity, but her landlord wouldn't have the change. She lived there very happy. She was a great Christian. But we knew she needed some help in the house. And so we got some of our young people, one young man in particular, to go and decorate her house. And I have to say this, that helped by them, yes, but I saw her, or I spoke to her, some 8 years later, after I'd moved on to another church. And I said to her, how are you? She said, well, you tell me. How is the boy that helped me? She said, I've never stopped praying for him, because she knew he wasn't a Christian. I then found out that that young man came to the Lord soon after she asked me how he was. 8 years. She wouldn't give up. And I had great joy in going back to her and saying, I know now he's accepted the Lord. And the tears just ran down her eyes. Lord, may we see non-Christians as ransomed, as healed, as restored and forgiven. In other words, may we see them come to you and become a new person in you. May what we see by faith become a reality in your name, Lord, and for your glory. Amen. Our last song, I will offer up my life in spirit and in truth. Next week, we're going to look at prayer. And there are all sorts of problems with prayer, I think, for people. But we're going to look at prayer as we learn from God's word.
Spirit and truth, oh.
let us join hands as we say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.